Kemba Walker practice, and Enes Kanter is really excited about how the team looks. I'm excited to start this week off with a Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here from MassLive.com, welcoming you back to a Locked On Celtics podcast, starting your week, starting your work week, hopefully, on this nice, blazing, hot Monday in the Boston area, the New England area. I hope you are comfortable wherever you are, and I hope you are enjoying the impending return of NBA basketball. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. .com. Rock Auto has amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So we got a little bit of an update, and as I've been saying, it's kind of hard to kind of keep up with some of what's actually happening down there because we get these little piecemeal updates of what the Celtics are doing. So Kemba's obviously top of mind, right? He's the guy that we all want to know about. How is he? How bad's the knee? Blah, blah, blah. It's been an ongoing thing. And the knee seems to be fine. He actually practiced with the team on Sunday. Didn't go through the whole practice, but he practiced, as Brad said, the first 50 minutes of the practice. And he said he's done a lot more over the last few days. So right away, you have this feeling of kind of relief. Kemba's going through these practices. He's slowly ramping up. The 50 minutes of practice is more than he's been doing, and they're being careful. They're just being careful. So if he's able to do that, and they've been going pretty hard, it feels like maybe the level of concern, maybe the threat level goes from, red down to orange or yellow. I don't know what the most threatening colors are. There's a whole Always Sunny in Philadelphia bit about that. But take it down from the top. Take it down from the top and bring it somewhere in the middle. I was on Channel 5's SportsCenter 5OT on Sunday night, which I put out on my Twitter, at RedsArmy_John, if you don't follow me on Twitter. But I put out the YouTube clip of me and talking about this. And the way I put it on that was worried, because I was asked if we should be worried, and Brad was asked about being worried. And Brad said, I think worry is a strong word, and I'll go with that right now. Not worried. Concerned? Is concerned the right word? I'm not 100% confident. I'm going with not 100% confident at the moment. That's where I've landed on Kemba. I'm going to take his word for it, where he says he's going to be back. He feels like he's going to be better than ever. So, good. If that's how he's going to characterize it, then that's fine with me. So Kemba played 50 minutes of the practice on Sunday, and so far, so good. Otherwise, all we're getting is, little updates. I've seen the videos of the guys out. Like, there were a group of guys, Marcus Smart, Enes Kanter, Taco Fall, Vincent Poirier. What an odd group, right? It's Marcus Smart. I guess Marcus Smart, who is a center, guard centers, is hanging out with the centers. So the stretch six is hanging out with all the bigs. All the Celtic centers out there playing beach volleyball and swimming and having a swimming contest, which is fun. If the Celtics really are going to pull this off, if the Celtics really are going to make a deep run, this really is the type of thing that they're going to have to carry on. Like, they're going to have to really keep enjoying these types of moments. And eventually their families will be able to join them in the bubble. That's going to be a big deal. I think the hardest part is going to be that first round, where we're talking about mid-August. It starts in a few weeks. They will have been there for more than a month, and they know their families are a couple weeks away from joining the team and joining them in the bubble. I think that's the hardest time, because the anticipation, you know, like when you know that you just, I got to deal with it, and I'm going to do my Zoom calls with them, FaceTime, whatever. That's going to be something you just deal with. When you can see the finish line, you really, your attitude changes. And I'm curious, I think that's going to be the hardest time, because I think a bunch of these guys might be just like, I'm so done with this. A month and a half in, halfway through it, there's going to be like a point where you're just like, I'm done. And will that promise of some outside interaction, will that make people, will that energize people? Or will it kind of depress people and be like, oh my God, two more weeks? I can't take this. I can't take it. And that's certainly going to be a reaction from some people. So I'm very curious to see how these guys will react. And I think that's going to be the stretch where you really want to pay attention and see how these guys react. You know how I react when something goes wrong with my car? I lose my mind, because I'm going to have to go to one of these chain stores, or at least that's how I used to think. In fact, I drove by one yesterday on my way to the gym, and now that I've been telling you so much about rockauto.com, I'm really paying attention to the size of the building and thinking, how can they possibly have all of the stuff all of these different cars on the road need? And the answer is they can't. It's impossible for these little stores, these chain auto parts stores, to have everything that you need for your car. Next time you drive by one, look at the size of that place. Now, go to rockauto.com and look at the size of their inventory. And no matter what you drive, no matter what the make, no matter what the model, you can find what you need. Everything from an engine control module to tail lamps to a new carpet. Whatever you need, whether you're professional, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, whether you're somebody like me who's below a do-it-yourselfer, you go to rockauto.com. Their prices are the same for everybody. They are reliably low. They don't change based on what the market will bear like an airline. Rockauto.com is for everybody. No membership required, no login. You just go in and pop in the information for your car and find what you're looking for. It's a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So I'm watching some of these clips, and you guys are going to have to help me out, because maybe my mind's playing tricks on me. Maybe I'm just, I haven't watched closely enough, and I'm saying this without having confirmed it myself. I'm watching Jason Tatum shoot, and I will swear that his release is quicker. Like, not significantly, but I feel like instead of pausing at the top of his jumper a little bit, he's kind of shooting a little more on the way up. Just a little, not quite Steph Curry. Steph Curry is like, that's his thing. He shoots it kind of like on the way up. He almost like shot puts it in a way like he really gets a lot of power, and that's why he can shoot from so far out. But I feel like he's added like, 5% of that type of release to his jumper. And I could just be way off. And I'm going to have to go back and look through some of the video. I just saw the video a little while ago. I tweeted something out. I haven't done the big comparison. I haven't dug deep into it. I kind of want your opinion on whether his shot looks a tiny bit quicker. And if it is, then that's great because he's, first of all, if it is, then that means that when he was saying, I didn't pick up a ball at all during quarantine, means he was lying, which I completely call, you know, BS on that whole thing. But if it's not, then it's just me just looking at it and maybe just thinking something's there that's not. A little bit of enthusiasm, maybe, on my part, just for the return of basketball. But I will tell you who is especially enthusiastic. It is Enes Kanter, who said on the call that in 9 years of his training camps, 9 different training camps that he's been through, this is like the best one. The practice that he went through a couple days ago was the best practice that he's ever been a part of. And Enes Kanter gets a little overly enthusiastic, let's say, for things like this, but he called it like the best. In fact, he said, I asked him about his hip, and because much like Kemba's knee, his hip was really limiting him. Like it's enough for him at full health to try to guard somebody on a pick and roll. Like that's kind of difficult, to put it nicely, at 100%. When his hip was bad, then we really saw him be completely ineffective in those moments. And so I wanted to know, was the hip fine, or was this going to be something kind of like Kemba, where it's like, yeah, the layoff was great, but it's still eh. He says healthy. He's, well, I'll be honest with you, here's his quote: quarantine time was important to just heal and get healthy. He says everybody's 100%. So I guess he's including himself in that. This is really funny. This is the whole Celtics. They were calling us the hospitalized Celtics before this quarantine, which is funny because if you're on Twitter at all, if you're online at all, we know that hospital Celtics has been going on for a little while because the Celtics have been getting injured a lot. So he recognizes that. That's how online Enes Kanter is, that he knows that about the hospital Celtics. And then he says, but now, man, the NBA should be scared because everybody's healthy now, everybody's 100% now, and everybody's going at it. So that's a hell of a statement to make. The NBA should be scared. Now, there are a few teams that aren't scared, I'm sure. The two LA teams and Milwaukee. I don't think Milwaukee feels scared, but at full strength, and if Kemba's included in this especially, then the Celtics do kind of raise themselves. Do they raise themselves past Toronto? Do they raise themselves past the Raptors and the, you know, the Heat and Philly, wherever you want to rank those three teams? I think they might. I think Toronto is going to be, obviously they're the second seed. So I'm really not taking any great risks in saying like, oh, the second and third seeds are really going to be the next tier of threats to Milwaukee. Like, yeah, in general, that's kind of how it goes. The number one seed is going to have a tough time with the number two and the number three seeds. But the Celtics at full strength, if they're really fully healthy and if they really come back at their best, I think they raise themselves above Toronto. And a Toronto Celtics series would be amazing. But with Tatum, if Tatum can be the best player in that series, then that just changes the dynamic so much. Because as I've said before, if Tatum can be your number one, like the Celtics 2 through 5 is better than the combined 2 through 5 on most teams. So if Tatum is the clear number one, and you're saying the next four guys are Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Marcus Smart, then that quartet is better than a lot of the next fours, or at least as good as a lot of the next fours. So if Tatum can be the best player in most series, then the Celtics have a real strong chance of getting to the conference finals. And if Tatum, if you're saying, obviously, like, obviously Giannis is going to be the MVP, so he's the obvious best player in that series, but can Tatum be good enough where the divide between the best player and the second best player isn't as wide as we thought it would be? If he can close that divide where everyone basically admits that Giannis is going to be the best player in that series because of course, but if Tatum can get closer to his level than we expected, then you're starting to compare, all right, well, maybe that Celtics 2-5 can outplay the Milwaukee 2-5, and hell, who knows what can happen there. So Cantor, even though he can be a little overly enthusiastic and he always tends to speak in these big glowing ways about his teammates and how people look, it's not unwarranted either. It's not completely unwarranted that he has this level of enthusiasm, because the Celtics and the Celtics have risen to this level. They are kind of like the darlings of the NBA in a lot of ways. Like a lot of people are looking at them as that team that can rise from that second tier and challenge these top teams. People are looking at the Celtics and saying, hey, if Tatum, just like I said, if Tatum's going to be that guy, if he's that dude, if he's that 30-point dude, 46% from three dude, then that's going to be a problem for other teams, because that changes the calculus a lot. So we'll start to see how that's going to look. Friday is the first exhibition game. Celtics, OKC, I think it's a 5 p.m. game, and it's listed as being broadcast on NBC Sports Boston. So we'll get to see it. And I was just kind of unclear a little bit if we were going to get a chance to see that or not, but it should be on NBC Sports Boston. We'll start to see for ourselves. And interesting, by the way, before I get to the next segment, the first exhibition game is going to be 10-minute quarters, which just prepare yourself, because it's not going to be 12-minute quarters. They just did that for that first exhibition game because just to ease people back in, and some teams don't have their full complement of players. So this is just to get guys some burn. Don't look too much into it, but don't be surprised by it either. So after this, just a couple of little things from Jaylen Brown, the social justice messaging and all of that stuff. That's next.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
An interesting end to Jaylen Brown's media session on Sunday. He was asked, you know, a few questions, and, you know, he tended to steer things towards social justice issues. It's a big thing, obviously, for him. It's very passionate for him, and wasn't much basketball talked about in his media session. But it went for like 6 or 7 minutes or so, and I'll play it for you. He was like, the Celtics PR was like, okay, we're done. And he said, you know what? I'm not done. And he wanted to talk about Breonna Taylor and more. And I just want to play you the whole thing.
All right. Thank you, Jalen.
Thank you. Before I go, actually, I wanted to speak on Breonna Taylor. So I know it's a hot topic in conversation. I know a lot of people have chimed in and have their thoughts about it. And where the line is drawn, or where the outrage kind of comes from, it just, you look at the case, you look at, since things have been settled down, Louisville has abolished the no-knock warrant, where now you have to knock to if you have a warrant, instead of just breaking in to somebody's home. And it happened to be the wrong home with Breonna Taylor. I understand that the protocol and the officers that they have to follow, but, you know, I think a lot of people's problem is not just with the officers, it's with the establishment, or the higher up, or I can't think of the word right now, but the problem is not just with, you know, the officers, is with what they're being told to do, et cetera. So everybody is chimed in on feeling what they have to say, but for somebody to have their home broken into and not necessarily be the right necessary home, and we understand that what the protocol is, but I feel like the protocols need to change and things need to improve. We see the improvements being made, but I feel like continuing to have people speak on these things and continue to have them talk about them is going to be important. So for us, equality is demanded, and Black Lives Matter. And Breonna Taylor is an example of a Black life who was taken because of, you know, how the system has been laid out. And we're going to continue to protest, and you're going to continue to feel some type of way about it. It's unfortunate, but, you know, I think these conversations need to continue to be had, for sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
I wanted to play that whole thing because I felt like it was important. Jaylen Brown stopped, turned around, sat down, and wanted to relay that message. And I thought, well, let's play the whole message. That's the message that he wants to get out. That's a message that should be discussed. And so that's what I did. That's the whole thing. Jaylen is trying really hard to make this thing in the bubble work for basketball reasons and for social justice reasons. And I really respect the efforts that he is making to try to reach that goal, to find himself in a position to make a difference socially. And I know that's important to him. He has spoken on a number of different things. The Breonna Taylor thing is one of many social issues that he has been trying to discuss, and just all throughout his short career already, you know, you see it. You see him trying to make a difference. And he's been recognized for it. He's been recognized by the state. He's been recognized at various universities, prestigious outlets. He's making a difference, and it's important. And I really just have a lot of respect for Jaylen Brown fighting for something that he believes in so passionately. That is, and I believe that is the right thing to do. Like, that's, he's fighting for the right things. And it's simple. It's equality. It's equal treatment. It's equal value of everyone's lives and everyone's future. So I respect Jaylen. I respect his efforts. And so I thought it was important to play that whole thing. It's going to be interesting to see what teams, what players are allowed to do, what they do in spite of whatever rules they're being told. There's a whole thing about the name on the back of the jersey and the social justice message on the back of the jersey. And frankly, I feel like that's becoming a little bit of a distraction, because it's not the most important thing. And I think people are getting fixated on that thing. It's a nice thing. And of course, if you're going to do it, they should do it right.
And if you're going to allow things, you should allow things. And but they've got their pre-approved list. Not everybody's happy with that list, as I've told you before. One thing that there were that Jalen brought up in this was having no name on the back of the jersey, and as a way to kind of symbolize, these are the names of, this is what you don't see as far as victims that you haven't heard about. We know certain names, we don't know all the names. But the league doesn't allow that now either, because part of the collective bargaining agreement is your name on the back of the jersey, which is probably for merchandising and sales. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a player or two or somebody that's going to say, you know what, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to figure something else out with my jersey. And here's the thing. These guys are getting dressed at their hotels, and they're going to have to show up in the arenas because there's no showering facilities there. They're going to have to show up already dressed. So these guys are going to have their warm-ups on, their shooting shirts on when they walk into the arena. If any one of them decides, you know what, I'm not going to follow this rule, I'm not going to follow this, I'm going to write something on my jersey, or I'm going to unstitch the name off of my jersey or something, I don't know. You won't know, the league won't know until that moment. And it'll be interesting to see how people react. I don't know that anybody's going to do that, but look, protests are, they're made to make people uncomfortable. Protests aren't here to make anybody comfortable. Protests are here to make you see something and pay attention to something and hear something that hasn't been heard. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll see how it goes. It's all rolled into all of this. So we'll see what players have in store as we move forward through all of this. We're going to continue our deep dives this week. We're going to continue finishing off the rest of the season. And then obviously we're still going to be talking to the Celtics. Got another media availability Monday night, another late practice for the Celtics. So as we continue our way towards the restart, we're going to continue finishing up our series. So if you're not a subscriber, please subscribe. If you are, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good written review. Thank you to the good folks at RockAuto.com. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.